Chapter 3. Monday morning, Nick walks me to my school before he heads over to Arlington Heights Middle School. He's about to say his usual, "Bye, sis," when Jenny runs over. She has a huge smile, and then she twists around. I see why she's so happy. She has a new backpack, and it has glitter, sparkles, and a cat. It's very Jenny. "Like it?" she asks. "Yes," I say. "Thanks. I wanted to get one that looks like Anna's." "Who?" I ask. "Anna. She's in my class. She has the best taste." Jenny grins. Nick rolls his eyes. "Girls." He does not like sparkles. Then he rubs my head and takes off as Jenny and I walk into our school. "I almost forgot," Jenny says. "I have lychee candy for you. My mom went to the Vietnamese market." She opens her backpack to give me the candy. I lick my lips. Jenny's family is from Vietnam, but unlike me, Jenny was born here in Chicago. "Yum," I say, popping a piece in my mouth. Jenny nods and looks into the classroom. Oh, I see Anna. I have to show her my new backpack. "See you at lunch, Stella." The backpack that looks like Anna's bounces as Jenny runs into the room. From where I'm standing, I can see Jenny talking to Anna, but only the back of Anna's head. "Who is this Anna?" I think to myself. I sigh and look down at the best friend bracelet Jenny gave me over the summer. It suddenly looks smaller than usual, especially compared to a backpack. I'm glad Jenny isn't lonely in her class, but she and I are the only ones who are supposed to match. If there was a rule book to being best friends, I'm sure rules on matching would be in the top 10 easily. It's just part of being best friends. Luckily, I start feeling better as soon as I get to my room and see Ms. Bell standing in front of the whiteboard. She's wearing polka dots again. "They're my favorite," she told us on the first day of class, which made me happy. "Polka dots are my favorite, too." I sit down in my assigned seat as Ms. Bell carefully starts to write our agenda for the day on the board. In perfect cursive handwriting, she squiggles. Number 1, library visit. Number 2, sustained reading. Number 3, lunch. Number 4, story time. Number 5, science. I copy it down in my spiral notebook. Then I add a 6th item to my schedule and draw a smiley face. Make a new friend. Today is going to be a good day. "Ms. Bell, are you going to read from Help, I'm a Prisoner in the Library again today after lunch?" asks Chris Pollard. He's one of the loudest kids in our class and is best friends with Ben Shaw, the class clown. "Seems only appropriate since we're visiting the library this morning, doesn't it?" she says as she pushes her glasses up the bridge of her nose. Hearing that makes me feel happy. Even though we can all read really well, Ms. Bell reads out loud to us a little bit every day during story time. It's just one chapter, but it's like watching a play. I close my eyes, remembering how Ms. Bell does all these great voices for all the characters. Suddenly the bell rings. I open my eyes. The classroom is full except for one empty seat where the new kid, aka my new friend, will sit. I bet she will have the best taste, even better than Anna's. Chapter 4. Ms. Morales is standing by the front door of the library to greet us one by one when we arrive for today's library visit. She is wearing her long pearls and a bright orange sweater, and on her left arm she's holding her stuffed goose named Lucy, which everyone gets to honk when they leave the library. "Hola, Stella," Mrs. Morales says. "Buenos dias, Ms. Morales," I say quietly, but I squeal inside. Miss Morales has been our librarian since kindergarten. The best thing about Miss Morales, apart from the fact that she speaks Spanish, is that she's so smart and loves sharing books with us. At the beginning of this year, when I started getting interested in fishes, she showed me all these books on Jacques Cousteau, a famous ocean explorer. Now I love reading about him. "Welcome, Miss Bell's class," she announces as soon as all of us are sitting in front of a computer. "Ms. Morales is full of spunk and a little different from your usual librarian. I think most librarians don't have purple streaks in their hair." Instead of saying hello back, we wave our hands in the air. Ms. Morales says proper library etiquette calls for no loud voices. Ms. Morales waves back and continues. "I hear you are all finding books for your sustained reading. Now, you remember how to use the catalog, right? Just find the Dewey Decimal Number, write it down, and look for the book on the shelf. If you have any questions, I am here. The Dewey Decimal System is how the books are organized at the library. If it were up to me, I would just organize them by color, like my colored pencils, or by height, like my books at home. Still, it really does help when searching for books. With the power of Dewey, I find the perfecto book. I grab it and head over to the big table by myself. The pictures are so beautiful. I want to dog-ear the pages, but I only do that to my books at home. Ms. Bell comes up to me, crouches down, and says in a quiet voice, "What book are you reading, Stella?" "What Lives in the Ocean" by Tanya Mikkelsen, I say quietly. "Sounds positively fascinating," she whispers. "It is. Did you know that octopus doesn't have any bones and has three hearts? I have to draw it later. It's just too cool looking." "I heard an octopus named Paul became famous for predicting many of the winners of the World Cup." "Wow," I exclaim. Miss Bell chuckles. She lifts her fingers to her mouth. When I get excited, I speak louder than I realize. "I think there will be a little time for drawing after the library," she whispers before standing. I smile and keep reading about octopuses. It turns out they are extraordinary escape artists. To escape from their enemies, they release a cloud of ink to help them disappear. Then, because they have no bones, they can maneuver through almost any nook or cranny. They can even escape through a hole only an inch wide. That would be a really helpful skill to have. When it's time to go back to class, everyone says goodbye to Ms. Morales and Lucy. "Adios, Ms. Morales and Lucy," I say as I give the stuffed goose a squeeze. I have to admit, even though I'm in third grade and too old for this, it's still sort of fun. Lucy honks and Ms. Morales and I both smile. "Hasta luego, Stella." When we get back to the room, everyone starts chatting about their books, except for me. I get started drawing my octopus. I'm about halfway finished, making sure I draw all eight arms the same size, when I hear a knock on the door. I look up and Ms. Green, who works in the office, is at the door. Ms. Bell meets her and whispers. I hear Ben Shaw say to Chris Pollard, "It must be the new kid." I drop my colored pencils. I got so carried away with the library and my drawing that I almost forgot. Then I see who is standing next to Ms. Green. It's a boy, and he has light brown hair. I frown a little. That's very different from what I imagined. "Class," Miss Bell says, "this is our new student. Do you want to introduce yourself to the class?" The new boy waves at everyone and says, "Howdy, I'm Stanley Mason. I just moved here from Dallas, Texas," or "Teas" en Español. Ms. Bell says, "Teas? That's so far away from here. Has anyone been to Texas?" A few kids raise their hands. "I actually was in Texas last year on our family road trip. We went to see the Alamo, and we even went to a cave where we took a picture with a dinosaur sculpture named Grendel. But I'm always too shy to speak up in class. Plus, the Alamo isn't in Dallas. Stanley probably hasn't even seen it. Still, even if I weren't shy, I wouldn't be able to talk right now. I'm a little speechless. I can't believe Stanley speaks Espanol. He doesn't look like someone who would speak Spanish at all." The new kid, I imagined, had dark brown hair like me and not light hair, and she was a girl. Ms. Bell says, "Now, class, let's have everyone quickly introduce yourself to Stanley." One by one, people stand. There are about 10 people in front of me, and I feel nervous and a little sweaty. I want to make a new friend so badly, even if he is a boy. So what if he's not at all the girl I had pictured in my head? He speaks Spanish like me, and, more important, he's new. He could use a friend as much as I could. I could be his first new friend here. When it's my turn, I stand up. I feel myself turning roja. I freeze. I just read that some octopuses can paralyze their prey. Maybe Stanley is part octopus. Probably not. He looks like a normal boy with freckles, blue eyes, and a cool monkey shirt. I catch myself staring at him for a second. "Mi llamo Stella," I say while looking away quickly. "Sorry, I mean, I'm Stella." I say it even faster as I sit back down. I'm about to groan out of embarrassment when I feel my chair start to tilt backwards. My eyes grow grande like an elephant, and everything slows down. I try to reach out to grab my desk, but it's too late. Crash! Before I know it, my feet are sticking straight up in the air, and my back is on the ground. I've fallen down in front of Stanley, in front of everyone. I close my eyes as I hear the entire class laugh. I check my arms and legs. Nothing hurts. I think about staying on the ground, but decide to crawl up. I poke my eyes above my desk. "Are you okay, Stella?" Miss Bell is the only one not laughing. "Yes," I whisper. I look at Stanley. He looks like he wants to laugh, but he is holding it in. There goes my new friend, I think. Who would want a klutz for a friend? I pull my chair back up and sit down. On top of it, I can't believe I spoke Spanish instead of English. Doubly embarrassing. I stare at my drawing and think about escaping through a tiny hole or disappearing in a cloud of ink. Today, I really wish I were an octopus.